Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for Dungeon Masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Joining me today is Jose Otero.
Hello.
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan. Welcome back.
Thank you.
You didn't give me a moment. Okay, whatever. It's cool. Go.
No, have your moment. Have your moment.
Welcome back, Jose. Thank you. We're all glad you're here.
Yes, I'm super happy to have Jose back.
Can we, like... It's Jose.
Yeah.
He's back.
The prodigal son returns. The
original Fire host of Fireteam.
I need a shave. I need more hours in the day to play Vault. We're playing tomorrow for the first time. So nice. We're going to talk about that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in just a second. Don't forget, if you're listening on iTunes and you want to show us some love, leave us some love in the form of a review. Also, real quick, I wanted to let you know that IGN will be the official partner of Twitter this year at E3, meaning if you like to tweet as much as I do, you'll be seeing our beautiful faces all over the place. So, on today's show, today we'll be catching you up on all the Destiny and Destiny 2 news. At the top of the show, we'll be discussing our thoughts on the updates, and this week, we'll finally have time to talk about both the Vault of Glass and Crota's End raids at 390 Light. Now, let's get you caught up on everything we learned about Destiny this week. May 18th, the day that Bungie will reveal gameplay for Destiny 2, is just over a month away, and while we've learned little in the form of details, they did say, ever since the reveal, we've cataloged every question you've asked about Destiny 2. We're listening to all of you, and we're so very grateful that you're curious. The gameplay premiere will be a memorable moment, the first time you see Guardians immersed in Destiny 2 action. Keep an eye on IGN for our own coverage of this event as details come in. This week, Bungie did release some images giving us a closer look at the Hunter, Titan, and Warlock from Destiny 2. The Warlock can be seen wielding that Suros shotgun we've all been salivating over. The Titan is holding a golden hand cannon, and in another image, the Warlock can be seen holding what we believe is that Amalon pulse rifle. Back to Destiny 1 now. Iron Banner is back this week. It's going to be Control, and you have a chance to acquire class items, gauntlets, and auto rifles and shotguns while working your way to level 5 in the Age of Triumph book. It'll run from April 11th at 10 a.m. Pacific until the 18th at 2 a.m. Looking forward to the next 390 featured raid. It will be King's Fall. And don't forget that according to the May 23rd Bungie update, every primary from every raid has a new exotic adept version that has been blessed with an elemental damage type. So if you've already completed it, you may want to stop by to see all of the new goodies you can acquire. Did I miss something this week, or do you want to bring up a topic for the show? Call in to talk Destiny by visiting speakpipe.com/fireteamchat. That's all for this week, but expect more news soon. Now, let's talk about those images. Fran, I know you in particular were talking all about the golden gun that the, I believe it was Titan was holding.
It's more like that new, what's that new iPhone color that everybody loves?
Red?
It's the gold.
Rose gold.
Rose gold, yeah. It's kind of a rose gold hand cannon. But anyway, no, I love the detail on that one, not just because it's gold, but just the vents. And like, there's something about all the new gear, and that's what stood out to me in these granted highly rendered artistic concept pieces of concept art. Mm-hmm. But it just – it seems like there's a lot more detail and there's a more – just an attachment to reality, if that makes sense.
Even in the fabric and in the metal pieces that are on the fabric, how it will be attached, it's almost like they're making images so cosplayers can easily make their custom craft artwork.
Yeah. It just looks real. I noticed that on the Hunter too. Like just the chest plate looks like it's made out of that NASA space age material.
Fabric, yeah.
But it looks more – it looks less – space fantasy and more real. I don't know.
So do you think that's the last word?
No, not at all.
No, you think that's just a vanilla, like, whatever gun you'll find, or maybe I think it's legendary if that's still around?
It's probably a Hake hand cannon or something like that. I just say that because of the shape of it. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be an exotic, though, right? Because it looks awesome, but I don't know if they would show exotics yet, honestly. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the point is, the guns, there's like we can't see that much yet, but the details. Yeah. Same on that Amalon scout, I think he has maybe.
We're guessing it's a pulse, but it could be a scout.
Could be a pulse as well. But just the little canister down there right above it is that coil of like energy or whatever. But I can't wait to see that come to life. And if the guns have more of that personality.
That's so shoddy.
Be excited.
That's the one I want to see. Yeah. He just looks so cool holding it because it's like – it's so colorful. All the weapons are so colorful. Your eye is drawn to that in all the artwork. I really like the Hunter's look. Like very sleek, very
she looks
badass.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's also the framing of the poster that actually draws your eye to that because the Guardians are kind of like cut off at the top. So it's like it's very much framed in a way that draws your eye to the weapons.
About the gear.
Yeah, it's about the gear and the weapons. Well,
it really reminds me too of like a, I don't know, when you go shopping at a mall and you see like a mannequin wearing like an outfit and they very much like it's nondescript because they want you to picture yourself there.
Yeah.
And I feel like the entire marketing campaign for this game, especially because you're not seeing helmets, is very much about, oh, that's you, or Destiny is comprised of all these different people. And I feel like their prior ads didn't really say that much. They just look like, you know, like space soldiers. But now there's just this personal element that they're going for.
I can definitely picture myself as a beautiful hunter when I'm playing Destiny 2.
I mean, I like the Hunter look, though. I will say that because I thought there was a little too much swashbuckling going on with the Hunter boots especially.
Yeah.
That turned me off.
Pirate boots, man. The leather boots.
I wasn't feeling the pirate boots. The cutoff should be a bit lower, I would say.
I mean, Hunters have always looked the coolest in my opinion. And I say that as a Titan main. Like, there are some Titan sets that make me look way cooler than everyone else, but they're few and far between. Most of the time, Titan armor doesn't look that great, I think. Just those cloaks, man. Hunters get all the cool gear.
Yeah. But, I mean, Jose, coming back to it, I mean, you do play whenever all the new updates come out, but you come back in waves. But
he plays way more than he lets on.
Yeah, no, I know how much.
I quietly have been playing a lot, and I'm currently working on the whole – I don't want to do the Age of Triumphs book, though.
You don't have to do the whole thing.
Well, you did, so congratulations.
I didn't do the whole book, though. Like,
but you have 100%.
It completes. Eventually, it completes at 100%, but you don't actually have to do every single thing in the book.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, there's a couple things in there that I know I won't do, like – you gotta have a warlock. Never gonna do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you can get away with not doing that.
That was the point of the book. They made that clear. Was like, look, we don't want to feel like you have to complete it every last thing, but there's enough to do in there depending on if you play Trials or if you're a Titan or whatever.
Yeah.
But going back to my real quick question.
Yeah.
We don't hear from you very much. Like, you were there at the beginning. You saw the gear they rolled out with and I don't know what you thought of the gear to begin with, but now that you see the new stuff, do you think it's just kind of the same, but it's just highly rendered, or are you seeing a change?
Piling on what Fran said, we also want to hear what you just think about Destiny 2. You haven't even really talked about it.
Yeah, that's true. Fran's question first.
The gear, the look of it.
The look of it, I mean, it is very much – it looks – in line with what I'm expecting, but also an evolution. Like, I feel like it just, it fits within that universe. Like, I'm not looking at it and it feels out of place in any way. I brought up the last word because I think they would show an exotic this early. I seem to remember like a lot of very early Destiny 1 concept art having Thorn in it. Or actually, it was gameplay. But it was still sort of, you saw Thorn the whole time and you didn't really know, oh, that's an exotic. That's going to be something that I'm going to have to chase down at some point. But Destiny 2 as a whole, I mean, I'm excited. I mean, this is the Taken King team, which inarguably Taken King is the best thing that happened to Destiny in its life. And knowing that,
it's not dead yet.
In its lifespan for Destiny 1, it definitely Taken King was the highlight, right? And it was the thing that I'll never forget reviewing for several reasons, but especially what came after and just like how much I felt like a part of the community and just jumping on Reddit every day and that excitement that came with it. And when you saw that taper off, you got really sad. And I'm really hoping that Bungie is designing Destiny 2 with that in mind, with keeping community conversations going, trying to piece together mysteries, not ending with another lame conclusion like Sleeper ended up being, but ultimately like just kind of finding really smart hooks to keep people playing longer.
I mean,
and I think the reveals have been good so far. I just can't wait to see gameplay.
Yeah. I'll bet you they learned a lot from like even the Wrath of the Machine mysteries with like the binary codes and stuff and opening that.
That was awesome.
Guardians were so amped about that when it happened. Like, I'm sure Bungie took note of that, and they were like, we need more of that. Double down on that.
Yeah, yeah, no, and people love the long tail on a mystery, right? And piecing it together, and, like, props to Datto and that crew, you know, Team Math.
Or weeks after Wrath of the Machine had launched that mystery was finally solved, and it's like... That's being so
there.
Cool.
And it wasn't easy.
Being there was so cool. Like, he's solving it, and I happen to be at the exact spot.
Yeah.
And it's, one of my favorite memories.
Those are the stories you'll tell people, right? Those are the things, like, I'll never forget the morning I woke up, and friggin' Black Spindle.
I was about to say the Black
Spindle.
Me too.
Yeah, the good friend of the show, like, Mark McDonald, hits me up, and he's like, yeah, there's this thing called Black Spindle, and you got it. There's an alternate exit, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like,
what?
It's 5:30 in the morning.
Why?
Are you trolling right now? Like, you're making this up. He's like,
no, the daily's up. Go, go, go.
Go, go, go. And I was like, what? So I'm really looking forward to see if Destiny 2 can tap into that, and I believe it will.
Yeah.
But mostly so far, it's still just, okay, this is very early, and so it's hard to get too excited, but I'm excited. You know what I'm trying to say?
You're trying to be cautiously optimistic.
You want to be.
I'm excited, but I want to be careful.
It's not even cautious optimism. I'm optimistic, I'm excited, but just like we're still playing the game. Real. Yeah, we haven't seen anything real yet, and so it's hard to be – it's hard to be a focused excitement because there's nothing detail wise that we know about the game other than that, like, I love Destiny 1, so that there's a sequel coming out. Cool. That's awesome. I'm excited about that.
And I'm glad they led with the one thing that had to make sense, which was, hey, your gear's not transferring. They found a story reason to justify that. I'm like, okay, I'm with that. Right? Yeah. You blew up the tower.
Yeah.
I get it. The stuff wasn't digital. All right. We're good there. That's all right. Maybe now vaults in space will be a thing. We're not sure.
We made a mistake.
Lord
Vault in your ghost. That's all I need.
Yeah. I thought that was ghosts. Really smart to lead with that. They're also leading with more levity and more character. Like, think about Destiny 1 and how every character was someone you met in the tower, but they had no cinematic presence, or they had very little cinematic presence.
Then they did a little in Taken King, and they're like, oh, this works.
I mean,
pivot where Cade just became this really cool guy you wanted to learn more about. When you think of the speaker was never cool.
No.
The speaker will never be
cool.
I hope the Red Legion killed him because I'm not done with him.
Yeah.
Like, I want a replacement, Bungie, if you're listening. I'm being really sure. with that. But you see right away that they're hitting on those notes, and those were very important beats that got missed.
Yeah.
But that got picked up later.
Yeah, that was what I expected to happen, is for them to want to sell everybody on the story quality and call it referring to it as the campaign quality, even though we haven't seen the gameplay. But like, I've been talking about this a lot around the office of like, that's what, again, Bungie was known for with Halo.
Yeah.
They sort of own the sci-fi epic campaign shooter.
I need a weapon.
Yeah, and so exactly, they come out with this new space epic again, and you dive in and you're like, wait, where is that, like, the story with the characters and the, right?
Their marketing material is weird too. It's a guy reading a book. And then telling stories, then you're on the moon, and you
was it?
Well, they were trying to make it very like the Jungle Book, and very like this is the story you're reading to your children, and this is the lone wolf.
It's too ethereal.
Become legend.
But, it was a bit too high art, I would say, versus what they're doing now. For
this
sure.
is right. pretty but, clear about what it's going to totally. Be. It's going to be a fun shooter you play with your friends.
Oh, and
you
get
a
ton of true, but
yeah, and a new villain appears. I mean, how cool is that?
But the point I was making, I expected them to be like, we have to sell people on the story. It is the most talked about thing, and it was one of critics. It was one of their biggest complaints over and over. I have no idea what's going on. But yeah, I like that they're really leaning into that. I keep saying that on the show, but that's what the trailer does a good job of.
Yeah.
What's interesting is we've all gone out and pre-ordered for a game that – We honestly have no idea. And like, it's an interesting reminder.
I haven't either.
You know, speaking for myself.
I did. Yeah.
But you're assuming, like, just a reminder, right? Like, sometimes the games come out like Zelda and they're like, wow, it was way more than I expected. Holy cow. And sometimes they come out like Mass Effect Andromeda and you're like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. We never know is my point, but I do have faith with the direction and all that they've learned that it's, I'm super excited for
absolutely.
It.
But, yeah. Hey, if it's a disaster, we got a lot of material for the show. But exactly. I have a lot of confidence in Bungie. I don't think that's going
to happen. And I think picking the Cabal to lead is very important because the Cabal never – I think there's the first raid's Cabal. I mean, like, this is an obvious thing.
Well, they've shown the raid boss, basically.
Yeah, it's about so. Time. It's scary. Like, it's good, like, because you went through all of your one. You didn't pull the trigger on that, surprisingly. Instead, you chose the Fallen twice, which – But Wrath of the Machine still ended up being a great
rare splicers, but aside. Yeah.
I mean, they're like
a
variation.
They're like an evolution of them.
If they stood side by side and didn't have the red smoky effect, you would have no clue.
They're infected versus taken is a big difference. So no, yeah. I get what you've said.
But yeah, so I'm excited about that too. And I hope that they, you know, it's interesting when we praise the Taken King because the storytelling that was there was still very simple. It was a revenge story, right? It was, you know, Crota's pops, who whether you thought Crota was a cool villain or not, I mean, all that spectacle for a guy that was like this big.
Yeah.
We can talk about that a different time.
I mean, but, back in the day, he was real big.
It was compared to
that. But then we went to King's Fall, and you were like, whoa. Crota Papa does not play around.
Yeah.
But I'm eager to see where all of this is going to go. Like, that's, I guess, the point I'm trying to
make. I think they've learned a lot, for sure.
So. Let's talk about what's going on in Destiny 1. So, right now, all the raids are being remastered. We played Crota's End, Vault of Glass, and next week we are getting Taken King. Guys, or King's Fall, sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, what do you guys think about the remastered raids? I am loving them. I'm loving the new challenge. Going back and playing Crota's End this week and not getting the same amount of drops, it's kind of like, oh, man. But otherwise, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of fun running it three times a week.
I mean,
getting the huge drops, huge gears.
To me, going back to these raids is a bit of – it's more about the nostalgia and going through the raids that you already knew. And I like that they added in some places like kind of new mechanics. Like in Crota's End, there's that part when you cross the bridge and everyone has to grab a sword and kill knights for like
great
4
job.
Minutes. That's
awesome.
Yeah. And when that first popped up, me and my whole crew were like, this is super cool.
Yeah.
Because – that's really fun, right? I was expecting a little bit more of that in Vault of Glass.
Me too,
And then also just on the difficulty level, like it kind of would have been nice. I was talking about this with Brian Malkowitz, one of our producers out there who's also a big Destiny guy. We kind of wish they were a little bit harder. Like it's a nice challenge, but we still did both Crota and Vault of Glass like in an hour. Like it didn't take us too long.
Vault takes a bit longer just because of how it's paced. But
it's a longer raid for sure. Yeah. But even then, it didn't seem all that difficult. It wasn't at all like the first time you jumped into the raid and you were like, this is really hard. Like, how are we ever going to do this?
Well, you know the mechanics though, so you're never going to have that first.
No, yeah, and I'm not saying it needs to be exactly like that, but it would have been nicer if it was a little bit more difficult is all.
Yeah, but you got to choose your battles there though. You know, I think that was an argument that folks made for Wrath of the Machine. You know, some were there's like, oh, it was way too easy. Others were like, thank God it's like sane and it makes sense.
An hour is a good time range.
Yeah,
half
I mean,
an hour to 45 minutes.
Yes, yeah, I don't know.
I think it depends on who you are, is all I'm saying. I'm not saying there's a right or wrong. I think there's just.
No,
there's
yeah, you're totally right. And in my personal perspective, as like someone who was a hardcore raider and WoW and stuff like that, like I look to the raid to be this ultimate challenge of difficult PvE content where it's like, if you're not good enough or you're not fast enough or you're not smart enough or you don't make the right decision in the right moment, you should fail. And it should be really, really tough. And those raids were that when we first jumped into them. And I'm not saying that they should be now because we already know the mechanics, but if it captured a little bit of that essence, it would have been cool.
Yeah, but it's a remix, right? Like it's a remix of an old song, you know.
And that's what I said. Okay. Like, I feel like it leans a little bit more on the nostalgia.
Exactly. There's a different beat to this, or there's slightly different lyrics, but this is the song that I like. So I've only done Crota's End. I'm actually going to be running Vault of Glass tomorrow.
Right. Yeah.
And I will not be streaming any of it.
Oh, okay.
But
I'll stream a little bit.
I actually need to ask you guys, too, how your raid off went. I don't know the answer. So
oh, yeah.
Oh.
We'll tell you.
But so Crota, one of my favorite openings of a raid, like, mm-hmm. ever, just because of the whole, like, wandering in the dark part.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. The bridge encounter was really fun. Mm-hmm. Was bummed, though, that Crota the Emboss is still bugged in some ways.
Yeah.
Teleported on us. Yeah. And also,
swords falling through the floor. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a sword fall through the floor. He teleported under a bridge at one point. And then he also kept doing that annoying thing where his shield is down. He's taking an E. Oh, but wait. Nope.
Really? He did that.
No, it's happened to us before, too.
He got us several Crazy times with that.
Just unplug your internet, by the way. Yeah. It fixes everything.
Oh, yeah.
That old glitch.
I want to throw shade at a good friend of mine for doing that the first time.
Twice in a row, I was our third sword bearer. And one time, my raid team keeps like blaming me because I failed twice in a row. Once because they shot him with rockets and he didn't go down fast enough. And then he just punched me. Huh. And then the second time, a thrall appeared in front of me as I'm running towards him. And
God.
Like Shaquille O'Neal blocked the out of me, and like I couldn't get around him. Like I bounced off him once, bounced off him a second time, and then by the time I got to Crota, I didn't have enough time to get three swings in.
Are you familiar with the Yolo Knight? Do you remember that? I think we talked about that way back in the day. So at the start of the last encounter, it's the knight that will
run through the door.
Is
amazing.
Like, I can't curse on the show. He just straight up guns for you, and you're like, wait, what?
The joke was like that my raid team kept making was that like Bungie went so hardcore in fixing all of the R exploits, but not any of the raid's exploits. We can't break the raid, but the raid can still break us.
Yeah, no, totally. But other than that, I really thought the oversoul in between phases on Crota added this dynamic where you had to take it out quickly. So you needed, you know, Unite Hawks. You needed to have
maybe
a strategy
to do
take them down. Yeah, exactly.
So was there always a second oversoul, or is that a new addition as well?
It's every time you hit him with the sword, basically, you get
every
oversoul.
Time he comes up.
Yeah, no, but like, it used to be at the end.
No, but I mean, haven't you gotten two oversouls in one sword before? Has that not happened to you guys?
So if you down him, then down him again, you'll get two.
Yeah, you're supposed to get two, and I love it because it basically will impact if you get a second round of sword swings or not. And it's so funny how they turn the tables, right? Before it was the whole raid team would be sitting over there waiting for something to do while the sword guy is like just chopping, and that was part of it. Now the sword guy's waiting because he's like, "All right, are you guys done with this?
I can't
put the sword down because if I put it down, challenge unaccepted.
Yes,
right? that's the thing. You're not allowed to let go of that.
Yeah,
I'm curious to hear your vault stories, and I do want to hear how your raid off went.
So, Real quick, while we're still on Crota, have you guys seen the video of the guys who do it in one sword?
Yes,
yeah, it's pretty. It's
really cool. If you're interested in that, there is a group of people out there who use a bunch of raid sliders and they kill Crota in one sword. Just go YouTube it. It's really awesome.
The strat is down him with ray sliders and then double bubble on the left and then
and
get him with, hit him
with
super
weapons
warlock.
Of light. Yeah,
yeah, but you just nuke him with every DPS thing you can, basically.
Yeah, I just didn't realize you could go at him with a sword as part of the DPS during, you know, taking
the swords are just to take him down, I believe.
Quickly. Yeah, but he's poking away at you with like
they're all no, poking no. away. Like, yeah, they're all hitting him
and stuff. Yeah.
I thought it was additional DPS. That's where I was.
No,
confused.
I think it is.
Like,
you'll have to check out the video.
You even can if you already was, do bubble with one sword. That doesn't get
no,
you.
No, but
there.
If you were just the sword bearer, weapons of light plus Viking funeral, you still wouldn't be
that's
doing enough
I'm
damage
saying.
To kill.
Yeah,
them. So those swords have
they're
that.
Doing
actually.
Damage during. Like that's just. It's an interesting facet. But yeah, you can hurt him with a sword while he's down. I guess right.
It's just great to watch these videos where people break the game. Basically, it's like you're not supposed
awesome.
To do.
So the strategy seems pretty simple, but like most people who are really good at the game, they make it look easy.
You'd be
coordinated.
It's awesome to watch.
It is really cool.
Gang of swords, and they're standing next to him, and like they, you guys ready? And they charge at him with it, like
an invis, a hunter
invis.
Yeah,
it's awesome. And they're like, this one guy's like meleeing him with, you know, the Sun Singer, like, just debuffing him, throwing nades. Poor Crota, man. That was the worst beating I've ever seen him get.
It's really cool.
It's amazing.
It's definitely good. As for the face off, it was against Destiny Community Podcast.
Yeah,
I think we lost by 40 points.
40 points.
It was really close. Basically. Had
points
we got
is close?
Hey, it was.
That
so
was out, it was out of 1,020
1,020 to our 980 points.
Basically, had we done it on our first run and we almost did,
we
would have won, but we did it on our second run, which means they won.
Crota. But that wasn't the Chariona and Pope Bear came up with this really clever system. They really thought through, like, if you get a chest, there's a reward, but obviously the penalty for time's in there. And they didn't know for sure because they hadn't tested it, but props because the game was that close. So shout out to those guys for putting it together. It was a ton of fun to do it on this like points based system. It actually got me thinking, like, when raid challenges were coming out, I thought there might be something like that, like scoreboards and, you know, a little bit of Prison of Elders, but there is definitely,
do it the fastest.
There's something to that side of it, like just a score for your team in the raid that you can go up against another team or something, or just scoreboards would be really cool.
At one time, Alfredo Diaz had Crota down to like 18 minutes.
Yeah, really.
Yeah. He could run through the whole raid.
We tried to get him to play with us. He was not available. He couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah.
You too, Jose.
Well, he's like, my PlayStation character wasn't leveled. That was his.
Yeah. He plays on Xbox, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, moving on to Vault of Glass. What do you guys think about those? You think it's too easy? I think it's
okay,
totally.
Hold on. Let's not twist my words. I wish it was a little harder. That does not mean that I think it's too easy. I just wish that it captured a little bit of that initial, like, wow, this is very, very difficult. And it doesn't quite get there. That said, the Atheon encounter specifically, I think the way they changed that, I will never change. I do think that the way they improved that raid made it, or that encounter specifically, made it harder in the right ways. Like, I love the challenge of everyone having to do one oracle in the portal and people coming in and out. That's all
they
really
have
cool.
to go into the portal. I love that because they get to see what's going on. If you if you never get teleported, then you at least know what the mechanic is.
Yeah. So if you don't get teleported, wait, are we talking about
stuff
this?
For Jose over here?
That's all right. I don't mind. We're running it tomorrow night. You know. Yeah,
it's minor. Yeah.
I mean, joined the show knowing.
But still,
that,
sorry. Yeah. It's up to you, Destin.
Knowing how to do it is very different.
I don't know if
you
want to give away all this stuff.
That's fine.
People playing this weekend still, you know.
Okay, well, we won't talk about the specifics, but the way they changed it, I thought, was a really a big improvement over the way it used to be, and it made it a lot of fun. And I got Fatebringer on my first try, so
I got two. I got two Fatebringers, and now all I get is Atheon's Epilogue.
So, yeah, for me, it was the – so the drops are definitely really interesting now, where I got a lot in Crota's end. I got two Fang of Ereutes. That's where the feeling double.
I got everything.
Double of the same always feels bad.
Everything?
Wow. But I ended up getting –
not armor weapons.
Yeah, right, with those two runs, I got, you know, the helmet, I got the gauntlets, and I got the boots. I still need a chest piece. But I got all that through –
wait, but you got double Fang of Ereutes on the same run?
No, not
– separate runs.
No, the same run, yeah. In the, I got the beginning and the end. So that – the guy got to fix, man. But then I go into Vault of Glass thinking like, oh, I'll be good. And then I definitely got good weapon drops. I got Found Verdict. I got Praetorian Foil back. I'm a huge Fusion fan, so excited by that.
I got this two of the sniper. Yeah. I was super happy.
I got Fatebringer and I got Prey this Timepiece all in one run.
Wow.
But I got no armor drops. I got a ton of Sublime Engrams. And I was like, timeout. They got to balance that out too. Again, I'm not complaining about –
reminder,
this,
loot,
but
still broken.
Yeah.
It is, man. The balance, the RNG. So I hope they fix that in Destiny 2. But anyway, I had fun. I only played it once. And I say it that way because, like, yeah, it was so rehearsed. And I thought there was going to be some more changes. It felt like, anyway, I need to go in and play it a different way. But we just, like, powered through it. There was a few guys who had already done
the challenges.
Answer
this for me. Did they change the Templar? Did they change that?
Not really. They shortened it a tad.
A little bit.
Shortened a tad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not drastically different.
Yeah.
Oracles are a little shorter.
But it's smart and it's more balanced. That's the biggest thing you'll notice, Jose, is like, remember, like, just freaking hiding and stuff in the Templar and all that?
Hiding in the crack of the walls.
Yeah. They've really balanced a lot of that out, that you feel way more in control and it's not crazy.
I was so bad for Luke when people bring up, like, that you can hide. He's like, yeah, we didn't really design
that. No, I know. Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah. Like, the way people get out of having to play some of these things.
So my first
what do you do? Oh, I snipe up there with
sniped up there with you once. Yeah. Remember that time we took Pear on a raid?
Oh, dude.
We saw him fall during the jump puzzle?
That's
so one of the most amazing.
I mean, those are the stories that you tell people, though. It's like,
I could tell.
I remember, like, there was a point when
Pear became legend that day.
There was a point when, like, we got back to the bridge and everyone was like in Crota's end, and we were like, wait, does anyone remember how to do this actually the right way? Because I had only ever.
You gotta kill yourself, and then the warlock reses themselves.
And then you're
gonna fly across the chasm with a sword.
I was always like, instead of figuring out the glitch, can we just do it? Like, can we just do it the normal way? But the glitches aren't that much faster.
So I'm embarrassed. I will say it on the show though, because that was like 2 years had almost passed. I was playing with Pope Bear the night before the raid. We just did some practice, and he trolled me a bit, I think. But they were across the bridge, and like, I don't know, it was like super late. I hadn't played in forever. And he said something like, I asked, I was like, oh, wait, I got to wait for the sword. He said, no, come on over, you know? Like, I just started running. And then I fell down in the chasm because the bridge was not formed, or I couldn't cross it without the sword, you know? But I was like, that much time had passed And I didn't play it right so many times. Shut up, Destin. I'm telling the story because of the point. Like,
right.
I legit broke the game in so many different ways, flying across or – but yeah, it's hilarious. Destin knows everything about Destiny though, so we're going to have a little quiz in the next show.
Oh, okay.
So since you're such a pro, Destin.
Well, I'm just talking about you're like, oh, the game did this, my controller.
Oh, whatever. No. I thought it was like 2 years having passed and playing it in broken ways, like sniping from the rooftop or flying across. I did all that.
No, for a long time, I didn't know how to do the Templar without sitting up on the ledge.
People
sniping.
Don't know.
I was like, wait, how do you, where do you stand?
And I did. I've done it all the right way. It's just, I legit, I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought, and also the raid had changed. I thought they were saying something changed.
I guess for me, because I ran the raids pretty regular and we did it the broken way. I'm like, can we just do it the way we're supposed to? Just to try it a different experience. Yeah. So I kind of learned how to do it the normal ways. And
we
had
did
a lot
that.
Of fun doing it.
Yeah. Eventually, that was the fun when they balanced a few of the fixes and remember when we had to play the bridge regularly. It was like, I remember talking to everybody. I was like, oh, good. Like, we actually can just play it normal because, like, half the people are sitting around.
Well, the bridge encounter was one of the better ones. I was sad to discover how folks were, like, you know, sort of breaking it.
Skipping it.
It was one of our earliest conversations, I feel, on this show.
That was awesome.
Why are you cheesing? Like, cheesing the raid is a bad idea. I will say though, there are still bugs even on that bridge we ran into where like it didn't form like properly or
really
it immediately like a section of it, like you had to kind of jump and use the sword to like get
in
away.
New one?
Even in the new one.
Dang,
yeah.
Man.
Some of that stuff's still there. And that's why this like, this sort of farewell to Destiny 1 is kind of, it's great because you know, you're getting adept weapons and you're getting like these raid experiences again, which I never thought they'd do. I think
I'm
it was
so
a smart way to do it, in saying goodbye. And I'm really curious for them to even, when they get around to answering the question, when are these servers off? Like, when do we say goodbye? Mm. Really say goodbye?
They said it'll be a while. They kind of
September
said that already.
September 9th.
Well, no, remember, they already said we intend to support this for, I don't know the exact quote. It was like a while. A long while. Like, they hinted it's going to go as long as the community supports it. So
I almost want to take a stake bet on that and say sometime in
it'll be like 3 years.
No.
Three years?
In 2018.
You think?
By June, that will be gone.
3 years is an eternity nowadays.
Yeah. I think it will last at least a year. There's still a ton of game value there. There's a lot of people who...
None of it carries over to D2. Like,
no, it doesn't.
Why?
I know, but you get those people. It's crazy how many people continue to play Halo 2, right? We talk about that a lot on the show. Sure. Bungie has that magic where people are going to want to go back and play, for some reason, the old trials, the old raids. They just want to. Yeah.
I have to you didn't do this, but I have to ask you guys. Did you guys do the Gorgon challenge? I did it last night. It was really fun.
I'm going to do it this
really
weekend.
Fun. Yeah. There's a challenge in the HDR book to kill all the Gorgons in the raid. And yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah. How the hell? It's really, really fun. Basically, the strat we use is Titan Bubbles and All Hunters.
Swords.
Okay. So with Tether.
And swords are the key.
Sword.
It's not like the old Green War challenge where you just had to kill one. It's all of them.
We had one Hunter with Celestial just in case he like bounced far away, but we did it, and it was really, really fun to do.
That's
it.
A hard challenge, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Their damage doesn't get – it like hits a cap now, so they don't just keep getting stronger.
Okay. I would skip that.
If it was the old way, I was
don't do that the first time.
It'd be impossible
maybe.
After the old
go back and do it.
It's really fun. It's really fun, though.
Okay, cool.
Do the raid first and then go back to that one. That's what I'm doing this weekend. I'm going to do it this weekend.
Got it. Okay.
I think that's everything for what's going on in Destiny 1. We talked about the images, and I know the images are like a small thing, but for I'm just like, it's so cool to just look at the marketing materials and think about like what might be coming. I love having those conversations with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, half of our show is wild speculation.
Yeah.
So, of course, it is, right?
We've got.
I look at those images and I'm like, cool, but like they don't really tell me too much, you know?
We got 5 months to go before the game's out, but thankfully there's these beats coming, you know, May 18th, the gameplay reveal, E3, hopefully see more there. Then the beta is coming up. Then, you know, obviously they'll have announcements.
May 18th,
beta.
Or E3. Like, I'm really impressed.
E3 is before E3, Jose.
Maybe it's playable in that at E3.
Yeah. No, I mean,
behind closed doors.
Oh, like, they open up the beta during E3?
No. Maybe, like, you get to play the first mission or something behind closed doors.
Like, in other words,
at E3, probably.
Potentially.
Yeah. He's saying, like, they'll show it to us and then maybe that's where we'll play it or whatever.
Yeah.
If they're doing a gameplay reveal.
Well, if they're doing a gameplay reveal 2 weeks before
we'll see. I mean, I actually think like this is there's think about it. They're doing a gameplay reveal before E3, and that did surprise me. We all thought it was going to be on the stage. A PlayStation is the first big on.
I didn't think that. I said 2018, but
yeah, and I can't
also,
wait for
it won't
that
be
dinner,
called Destiny
Sean.
2.
I'm just
hey. No one has said Destiny 2 yet. It could be called 2 Destiny.
Some filet mignon. You know, I like a good petit sirah on with my steak. I can't. No, just anyway, so what I was getting at is it totally surprised me when they said May 18th. And I thought a couple things flew through my head. One was, wait, okay, so Call of Duty's got to get unveiled still. Maybe that's partially why. But they always do that before E3 already. But now I'm like, they got two games, so they like this strategy. But normally that's what happens a little bit with Call of Duty is like you actually see a lot. I mean, potentially even play it before then. Like, this is their E3 before E3, so anything could happen. Either way, I just can't wait to see, like, finally see the game.
Well, and they should.
And we are so close.
May 18th reveal, and you can play it right now.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, right. They dropped the beta. That's not.
No, but I wouldn't be surprised if there is hands-on impressions or something timed within a week of that reveal.
Yeah, totally.
Like, if they're going to reach out, and hopefully, if you're listening, you know, talk to some of us and get us out there to go see it.
The hands-on thing will be.
This isn't begging. This is reality. Like, it's not going to be that they're just going to show it and sort of step away. This game is very community driven. I mean, the show exists because of that, right? It is very much about different folks who have the experience to talk about it and not just have Bungie sort of leading it and being the only ones really having anything to say. That's just not what made Destiny popular in the first place. So I hope that that is how this is going to play out, that we'll have some early impressions before everything hits the fan at E3, because E3 is so crowded. You don't
want to
share
that.
That's what
I was going to say, Jose. You know more than anyone all the meetings you've had to take before E3, because why? The publishers are worried about what? The noise?
Well,
you have enough time to write.
Yeah.
So I think there's a good chance.
Plus, like you pointed out, Destiny specifically has a really long tradition of bringing in influencers and players who have built their careers or built content.
Yeah.
Channels around that game to kind of help bring the content to the community.
Definitely. Guys,
I can't wait.
We got to wrap it up. Sean, any final thoughts?
No.
No? Got it. Fran? I'd like to give you guys the opportunity to talk Destiny.
Well, in case you missed anything.
Oh, right. Actually, yeah. I do want to ask you guys, did the Scorpio news impact your thoughts on how Destiny 2 is going to play with Xbox?
The only thing that's going to impact my decision about where I play Destiny is if I can transfer my character to a different platform like PC or something. That's my thought.
If GTA can do it, Destiny can do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? I got to ramble on this. First of all, the Scorpio stuff just got me thinking again about how important I think it's going to be to have the PS4 Pro and Scorpio enhancements. I think that's going to be pretty clear. Maybe, I don't know when we hear about or how they do it, but I think, right, it's early enough. The game timing's perfect. I mean, we don't know when Scorpio comes out yet, but point is, I think that's going to be.
They said holiday
number.
But I think, right, we don't have a game today with Destiny where it's got clear PS4 Pro enhancements. So that's going to be exciting to find out. Maybe we even find out at the event. That would be awesome. But what really got me thinking was last year, what excited me most that I said, Microsoft, like, yes, you're listening, you're thinking, was Windows 10 crossplay. Mm-hmm. And they announced first party games, Sea of Thieves, Gears of War, Forza. Awesome. Now I can buy, if you guys don't know what that is, you can buy Forza, Gears, whatever on your Xbox One, and then you own it on your Windows 10 and just go play it on PC. That is
play
so cool.
Is what they call
now
it.
That's play anywhere. Yes, yeah, sorry, it's not true crossplay,
but
right?
PS4.
Well, depending on doesn't Gears support crossplay?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Gears support crossplay.
Crossplay as in I can play against PC players?
I don't believe so. I don't know for sure.
I was talking to Sean Pitt.
Most shooters don't take that chance.
Because
Gears might, but I don't.
So I may be misled by
this. This is a whole topic, Pandora's box we could open up. So what's your
But it doesn't matter. Regardless of that, what I was getting at, let's go off crossplay for a sec. Yeah. I just want to point out, I think it's such a cool opportunity for Destiny above all, because the type of game it is, that for Xbox One or PC, you're going to get to own it on both. That could be one of the first games that's not first party to do it. I think it's poised perfectly. So we might be in a situation where we get that. And then on top of it, obviously, the enhancements for the – you know, just think of playing it high-end PC, PS4 Pro, Scorpio, whatever. I'm just excited that it's going to finally, I hope, be optimized for all those experiences.
Well, and PC says to me it will be, right? Because with PS Pro coming out, they took the hard pass. Like Destiny 1 did not get a significant update to take advantage of PlayStation Pro.
Well, they're like, we'll be good in a year.
And to be fair, Destiny 2 was in development, so I'm sure that they didn't see the need to put the resources towards that. Instead, you know, stay out of it, wait until Destiny 2 to really take advantage of it. And it's serendipitous timing because they'll have an Xbox, a new Xbox to work with that has a higher ceiling. And then they'll have the PC as well where they're going to have, you know, it'll probably be the best experience. I will say this, though. I already asked my raid team. I was like, are any of you abandoning ship to go to PC version? Mm-hmm. I just want to know now if this group's breaking up. And everyone agreed they're going to stay on their PlayStation 4. Yeah. So I'm curious if people listening to the show or you see yourselves going over to the PC.
Like I said, yeah. Only if I keep my progress, because I don't want to lose all that work.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does.
Both characters on Xbox One. Yeah. I joined you.
But at the same time, like, this is a brand new game, so what progress do you have to
keep? Yeah, I mean, your face is the thing you can transfer. That's all we know.
I don't know. I feel tied into that character and that progression.
And that's fine. I actually don't think that there's probably going to be a lot of people defecting from PlayStation to Xbox because of Scorpio. I just think it's an interesting situation that, given what we know about Project Scorpio so far, games like Destiny that are multi-platform might be the best looking as far as the consoles go on Xbox.
That is a huge topic, you guys. We can't cover it today. Sure, we have reached the end of our show. I'm sorry. But it's a great topic for the next episode, Sean. Before I go and Jose does the outro with us, I just want to give a plug to our teammates at IGN. If you like movies, IGN is hosting the Fate of the Furious red carpet premiere featuring the cast live on Saturday, April 8th at 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Fran, that's like everywhere, right? That's IGN.com for sure.
Check IGN.com for all the details. We're usually on every platform out there, but just come to IGN.com, check it out.
I have done the promo 4 times this week on 4 different shows. It is definitely IGN.com, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter.
Perfect.
Should have called it the Fate Bringer of the Furious, but continue.
Oh my goodness. That would have been great. That is the end of the show, Jose.
Jose. Come on.
Until next time, everybody. Guardians out. Do it.
Come on, Jose. He wouldn't do it. I knew he wouldn't do it.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.